Greetings, Samantha. Thought I would answer your latest email. And I'm so glad that you were able to listen to that without being offended by it. Because you're quite right. I do get very passionate about speaking the truth. And again, I was trying to make the point that I was not speaking passionately so much to you as I am to the subject. Because I get emails like this from all over the world. And I hear of the people's challenges. And it hurts me to see people being hurt by false teaching. So the questions you've asked are, is it wrong for us to have wealth? There is so much the Bible speaks about on this subject, but unfortunately, again, it takes years to sometimes for people like me to get the true picture. Jesus's teachings are pretty clear about this. Do not store up treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So ask yourself this question. What are the things that we have that moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal? Whatever that is, whether it's a television or a fancy dress, Jesus is saying, don't store these things up on earth. These are the things that pagans run after. Here's one of the ways that you can know if what you and I are going after is okay with God or not. Do other people in the world, pagans and unbelievers, value it? Because if men value it, the Bible says in Luke 16:15, God despises it. So honestly, the quick answer is men are driven to acquire wealth. If a Christian is desiring wealth, they're actually desiring something that God himself, worldly wealth, detests. Luke 16:15, okay? The Pharisees who loved money were sneering at Jesus. And Jesus said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. And what is highly valued among men, think about whatever it is detestable in God's eyes. Anything down here on this earth that we desire so much that we cannot take with us to the heavenly kingdom. As God says, be very careful, watch out, be on your guard against all forms of greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus also gave us the parable of the rich fool who has plenty of wealth. His barns are overflowing. He wants to tear them down, build bigger ones so that he can eat, drink, and be merry. And God comes to him and says, you fool. Your very life will be demanded of you tonight. Then who will get what you've stored up for yourself? And Jesus says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up wealth for themselves like this and is not rich towards God. Now, is wealth evil? No, I don't believe that wealth in itself is evil. But I do believe there are very few human beings living on the planet who cannot be enticed by money. And you have to see money as another lover. How much time do you want to spend pursuing another lover when God is saying, if you don't pursue me with all of your heart, I can have no part of you and you'll have no part of me. So God sees money as another lover. In fact, we cannot serve both God and money. Matthew 6:24. He says, you'll hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. I can tell you honestly, I hate money. I love God so much that just as Jesus commanded, I actually hate money. I despise it. I don't like having to manage it or think about it. I don't like having to pursue it, and I don't. And I don't even like praying to God about it. Now, it took me a long time to get to this place, Samantha. This isn't something that I've just come upon, right out of the gate with my relationship with the Lord. God had much work to do in my heart. Money is something I despise. I see money as being, it is, the love of it is a root of all evil, and most people love it. And God has given me such contentment. Think about this. You mentioned how these pastors all seem to be blessed of God, okay? They are the ones who justify themselves in the eyes of men, but God knows their hearts. I will tell you this. How do we know this? Two of the largest pastors in the New Covenant are Paul and Timothy. It's estimated Timothy had one of the biggest churches with tens of thousands of people that he would be put under management under, okay? And Paul is teaching him and mentoring him. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we came into this world with nothing, and we can take nothing out of it. And then he says these crazy words that a lot of these wealthy pastors somehow or another have cut out of their Bible. But if we have food and clothing, okay, these are the two biggest pastors, biggest ministers, biggest evangelists in the new covenant. There's no way these guys deserve less of a salary than these so-called big giant ministers that are being blessed of God. There's no way Paul or Timothy deserve to be blessed less than these guys who've come and piggybacked on all the hard work these guys laid down. And yet, look at what Paul tells Timothy. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And he goes on to explain that many, for love of money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, wandering away from the faith doesn't mean that they're not still sitting in a church somewhere, but they've walked away from the true faith and instead chosen to love money rather than God, all the while telling themselves, I don't love money. I used to quote it to myself all the time, Samantha. I'd say, it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. This is me justifying. Now, I'm not saying having some things is wrong, okay? But I'm saying anything that you and I acquire outside of God's will, anything we pursue outside of God, whatever he adds to our life, this is the secret. You seek first the kingdom of God, and God will add to your life what you need in order to accomplish his purposes. Even in ministry, the great Hudson Taylor teaches us a powerful principle. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, not the means to advance it. In other words, don't even seek money, people, or resources to advance it. Seek the kingdom of God, and God will give to you what you need. I want to make one recommendation to you that will change the way you think about money, God willing, forever. It's the most powerful life story testimony I have ever read, and this is a man who finished what he started, and he's an absolute legacy of what can happen if a man will abandon himself and totally trust in God alone. His name is George Mueller. You've heard me speak about him many times. You can listen to George Mueller's answers to prayers on the internet, but I want to encourage you to buy his autobiography, because what it is, it's a collection of journal entries. And George Mueller has a lot to say on the subject of money, and I don't think anybody is more qualified to speak on money than George Mueller. Two reasons why. He gave up everything he had. Him and his wife sold every single possession they had, and they gave to the poor early in their ministry, okay? They never, number two, ever asked a human being for a dollar. They never hinted around about it. They never manipulated circumstances. They never told stories. They trusted God and God alone through prayer. And number three, God provided over what would be the equivalent, I believe, of $100 million U.S. in the 1800s, over a 25-year period of time. God brought all this money into their hands, okay? It was an astonishing amount of money that people gave to George Mueller just for his salary, okay? I mean, it was an extraordinary amount of money. I don't remember, but I think it was in the millions. Out of all the 100 millions, there was hundreds of thousands of pounds that were given over this 25-year period of time just to George Mueller for him and his wife for their salary, okay? That's how much money came into his hands, a lot, okay? You know what he did with the money? He did not go do what today's pastors do. He didn't go build a bigger house, live on the golf course, drive a nice car, take lots of trips, buy a plane, not at all. And we have to ask ourselves, if George Mueller, who God did more through him than any man that's living on the planet today, there's no man living on planet Earth today, everybody agrees about this, that God did more through this man when he died, was taking care of 10,000 orphans. Without having ever asked a single human being for a dollar. I can't think that there's another testimony on planet Earth anywhere that even comes close to what George Mueller was able to see from the hand of God by believing him and trusting him alone. But when he's interviewed at 91 years old, The interviewer asks him about all this money that was given to him for his salary. And the man hands him, he says, you know, do you have a lot of money? Have you acquired a lot of wealth? He hands him his wallet and says, look, that's all the money I have right there. He and his wife never even believed in a retirement account, Samantha. Exact opposite of what America. He didn't believe in storing up all this money for retirement because he says it teaches you to trust in your bank account rather than in the God who is in control of heavenly bank account. He says, I have a bank in heaven. He says, and my heavenly Father, as he sees fit to provide as I have need, I can draw on that bank through faith and prayer alone. And he watched God. Now, this is a man who's, you know, 91 years old being interviewed about this. So it isn't like an experiment. This is a life lived in faith. And when you listen to this man's life story, you will hear unbelievable accounts over and over and over how God came through for this man. This was one of God's choicest servants, and God made it clear to everyone that God honored this man's faith. And you know something? He didn't do anything to bring honor to himself. He didn't do anything to try to store up any of this money for himself. None. At 91 years old, he has virtually no money. He hands the man his wallet and says, that's all the money I have. If he has need, God provides for him. He never lived storing up money. He was so content and lived in the most humble of circumstances his whole life. Sister, I can tell you that's the kind of man of God I want to be. That's a true man of God. This man is a true man of God. He's a true example. When I look around the world today, I don't see examples like this. There's very few. There's been a few men who've influenced me that are alive today. This is why I love following dead men. Because we know how they finished their life. We know the truth about how they were living at home. We know what their faith came to. We can know. There's so many men that are preaching today. I have no idea how they live, how they talk to their wives, how they love money, how they look at women when they're sitting at a lunch table. There are some men that we can absolutely know how they lived. And we know how they died. See, that's also a tremendous indicator of a stamp of God's approval, is how a man or a woman of God dies. And all of these famous people that I've read about, they all had people near them when they died. And you get to hear these incredible ways God ushered them into his presence. And so you can see that even in their death, God is testifying, I approve of this servant. I approve of their life. And sister, I'm telling you, all the greats, they lived exact opposite of how today's so-called greats live. Exact opposite. So is wealth and possessions evil? No. But sister, show me one person who can handle it. Show me one person who can take all the wealth from God and it won't corrupt them. I heard one minister, one of my favorites, Zach Poonen, said, do you know the hardest thing in the world for God to do? He said, the hardest thing in the world for God to do is to keep a man humble after he blesses him. And I used to challenge people with this idea. Years ago, I was driving down the road and I saw this billboard with this happy little Christian family. Perfect blue sky, white picket fence, smiles on the faces, clothes perfectly pressed, kids all happy, dog perfectly groomed. And this question comes to me. If God gave you everything you wanted and desired in your heart, how would it benefit God? And what God was teaching me in that moment is that God is so wise, he knows that as he gives us earthly things, we become infatuated with earthly things. We become distracted away from God. So why would God ever give us these things that he knows will corrupt our hearts? Why will he give us these earthly things that we desire so much? Sister, the better option, listen to this. This is the secret, what I'm getting ready to tell you. Okay? And I say this before the Holy Spirit, who's with me at all times, living inside my heart, before my Lord Jesus Christ. For the most part, I count myself in a very small, small group of people. I can count them on one hand of the richest people I know. I literally can tell you that I feel like I am one of the richest people I know. And yet, I'm living right now with my wife in a third world country, no air conditioning, no running water that runs more than 30 minutes a day, no vacuum cleaner to clean things, no water that I can actually drink when it comes out of the tap, no freedom from all the noise that's coming outside. I could just, there's all kinds of things, okay? And yet I'm still feel like one of the richest people in the world. Why is that? This is the secret to the Christian life. Imagine how much money God could put in your bank account right now to make you feel absolutely satisfied, happy, fulfilled, and secure. Let's say that it's 100,000 US, that you would really feel like, wow, I got 100,000 in the bank. I can pay off my debts. I have money to provide for myself. Okay, all right? Sister, the moment God puts that money in your bank account, you start trusting in the money, not Him. It's an absolute historical fact. Your eyes are going to trust in the money rather than God, okay? But here's what God can do for you. God can bring you to a place where you have so much contentment in Him and you delight in Him so much that you begin to despise money. You will despise the things in the world because you know how easily and quickly these things take you away from God. God can make you, by the power of His Spirit, feel as if you have $100 million in your bank account. He can make you feel that level of fulfillment and satisfaction and security in your heart. And yet, you don't have to manage the $100 million. You don't have to invest it. You don't have to worry about somebody else stealing it. You don't have to obsess and think about it. Instead, you're freed up to think about your Father. Now, this kind of feeling, the contentment, Jesus promises in John 4:13-14. Also in John 7, He speaks of living waters flowing from within you. He says, don't work for food in John 6:35, for food which spoils, but for food which endures to eternal life. You want these things, this water. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him, indeed that water will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is what you want. And you need to know, you don't need the 100,000. God will give you exactly what you need when you need it. He can provide for you a job. He can provide for you miraculously through His providence to funnel money into your hands. I've seen it happen so many times I can't count. I have recordings full of God did it again. Praise the Lord. God came through for me again. Over and over and over and over. I have this. And as George Mueller was famously asked one time, he says, but George... They said, but George, doesn't this type of living where you're just depending upon God all the time put you in a position where you're constantly thinking about and obsessing about money and you're constantly in need? And George says, no, on the contrary, it puts me in a position to be filled with joy repeatedly as I see the Father and His faithfulness come through time and time again. I'll tell you one other person that you might want to be interested in reading in. Read the book called Kisses by Katie. Kisses by Katie practiced the same exact George Mueller principle, probably having never even heard of George Mueller. This young girl, I don't even want to tell you the story. You can look for it online. But this young girl has seen God provide for her financially in ways that most people could never even imagine. Why? Because she was busy doing God's work. See, the money is for God's work, not for our personal betterment, not for our happiness and healthy and wealthy. If God gave you $100,000, you can be sure He wants you to use it to build His kingdom. The little money that I have and that I get, I rarely spend it on me. Rarely. While in India, I'm just going to try to help you see this is how I live a little bit differently from some of these famous preachers, okay? And I have had all that money in the past. I don't ever ask a man for a dollar. I have one donate button on my website. I give the very book that I wrote away, I give it away for free. And if somebody wants to have a hard copy, they can. Let me shut this door. Give me for 1 second. Our neighbor has a dog downstairs that's very, very loud. So, final point. I've had all that money in the past. Now today, I rarely spend any money on myself. While I've been here in India, I think in 5 years, I've purchased 4 pairs of blue jeans in 5 years, okay? I just bought, I think, 6 pair while I was here in India because they're so inexpensive, they'll last me for years. The most recent purchase I made before I came to India was for a watch. I spent $15 on a watch. That's it. Those are the only things I can tell you that I have purchased for myself. Why is that? How can I live without buying myself something nice or whatever? I have no desire for things in this earth whatsoever. Any money that we get, we put into either a new piece of video equipment so we can video, or it goes into the website payments or into buying more books. It's always something about the ministry, aside of our just basic needs being taken care of. I'm not saying this to make us sound better than anybody. I'm trying to tell you that this is the kind of grace that Jesus Christ can give you. And this is available to everyone, not just Michael because I do messages or because I'm in quote unquote full-time vocational ministry. These other people that justify these lifestyles, I mean, I just have to tell you, Samantha, I'm sure one day if I keep going at this rate, somebody is probably going to have been watching my ministry and they may donate a large amount of money. It's not uncommon for something like that to happen, okay? The last thing I'm going to do, God help me, if somebody donates a large amount of money to my ministry, is to inflate my lifestyle here on earth. Instead, I'm going to go, wow, now we have an opportunity to expand the ministry, not expand my lifestyle. You see? Now, why is that? Because I'm completely content in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm working for rewards that moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. You read the greats of the greats of the greats, the George Foxes, the Charles Spurgeons. Do you know Charles Spurgeon never even took a salary from his church? He sold books, okay? He sold so many books, they took the money from the book sales and they started an orphanage. He didn't expand his lifestyle like all of today's pastors do. And they think, I'm blessed of the Lord. Sister, I tell you, it's a lie. This is why the Bible warns so much about the seduction of money. And why God says you cannot serve. He doesn't say you can't serve God and the devil. He says you can't serve God and money. Money is the number one competitor. Why? Because men think it's not evil to trust in money. Everybody knows it's evil to trust in the devil. But everybody can justify why they have this fat bank account. And while I'm not really trusting in the money, it's just there for me to use. I got to have some money. The Bible says you got to store up some of the oil in your house. You got to... And we justify instead of trusting God. The righteous shall live by faith. So I hope that encourages you. May God bless you. I'm so excited that you're continuing to learn. I can just want to warn you, I can't do this all the time. I felt led to share a lot of information with you. I've had a little extra time, but I cannot continue to do usually long messages like this. I just wanted to let you know so you don't get disappointed. But by all means, if you have questions and you're trying to find God like you are, we want to help you. God bless you, sister, in Jesus' name.